Hi there. Welcome to this, the 23rd episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And today, to kick off this, the first episode of 2022, we will talk about your and my favorite topic and everybody in the world's topic, COVID.
We haven't had enough opportunities to talk about COVID, so let's talk about it.
It's just the reality that this is not going away, and it's worth talking about. It's worth repeating just to keep us all up to date on things. And the reality is things will change tomorrow. We'll talk about it today, and there will be new CDC guidelines tomorrow. But it's like just to keep things in front of people, because this is very real and it's very, very much impacting the world.
I agree. And I think what's nice about you and me, Dan, is we look at everything through the lens of people living with multiple sclerosis. So COVID-19 affects the entire population. But how does it affect two people with multiple sclerosis taking medication to control the progression of the disease, medication that's impacting and at the forefront of our thoughts as we go out into the community and try and live lives as close to normal as possible. So I think that this topic is very relevant and very, very important, as much as some eyes may roll like, oh my goodness, we're talking about COVID. We're talking about other things. We're talking about our lives and just the realities of multiple sclerosis and, unfortunately, COVID-19.
And that's where it is a very big deal, and we're talking about this. It was just last week that the National MS Society had released a new report, if you will, a report. It's COVID-19 vaccine. Understanding additional doses and boosters. And I think that's the big push now, is the boosters. And at what point do you get your booster? And I think what threw us off tonight on the news where they're talking about people getting a fourth shot.
A fourth shot. And while that's exciting, it's or scary. Not exciting, it's, so scary. It's scary. I mean, I don't want to say exciting, but I had my first vaccine, good heavens, 7 months ago.
Yeah.
And if my math skills work, but you know, it was a long time ago. What, you know, I've had two doses and a booster shot, and now to possibly get a fourth shot would be good, especially because I'm immune compromised. In that population, that is something that needs to be thought of. People taking medicines that affect our immune systems. And so the prospect of a fourth shot would be good. And I think especially, you know, we haven't really caught up lately. You know, it's a new year and things have changed. And just because it's a new year didn't make COVID go away. And one thing that I'm thinking about is I get to go to my urologist tomorrow. So I'm going into a doctor's office in a doctor facility. And I am going to have my post-procedure first visit with my urologist, because I had Botox for my bladder, where they injected Botox in my bladder to control the severity, well, not severity, but just the urgency and the frequency of my bladder. And Botox seems to be working very well. And I'm very pleased. And so I'm going there and I'm thinking, boy, you know, it's a doctor's office. There may be sick people there. It has an emergency center close in the facility. Could I be at risk for coming into closer contact with people living with COVID? Certainly, because I don't typically leave the house often. Not to sound pathetic, but
well, ideally, people shouldn't leave their house, right? Is that, yeah. I mean, if you're looking to stay as safe as possible, that's just where but you, like this with a doctor's appointment, sometimes you have to go out, and I think this is why the continued discussion about COVID and boosters and everything. I think before we go any further, we'll just straight up say the best thing to do is talk to your doctor, get advice from them, get direction from them. I know that as far as my first two vaccinations, I did not do until I consulted with my neurologist, and same thing then too with the booster, as far as like timing for this, because truly just so much is like with MS is affects everybody differently. It's just like, so then your individual situation, position and stuff health-wise with your MS medication, with your disease, I mean, your doctor and you, that's a joint decision and discussion that you need to make. And so we're just giving thoughts, insights from our perspective as two people living with multiple sclerosis.
And as you often say, Dan, it's important to be educated. And if you haven't decided on your position with whether to vaccinate, which you should, or not, you can look for resources like the resource you talked about from the National MS Society. Look at the literature, look at the information, and make your decision. And, you know, you need to be informed before you talk to your neurologist. Certainly your doctors can help to inform you, but it's really good to go in prepared and to have your stuff ready. And I know that I'm going to, you know, we're seeing our doctor in a few months. I'm not going to wait until we see her in July to find out about another COVID vaccine. I will reach out, and I, you know, there's a multitude of ways to stay in contact with our neurologist, and I'll do that because I want to be safe, and people have died, people have lost their lives because of COVID, and I don't want anything to happen to you, Dan, and certainly don't want anything to happen to me.
Absolutely. I exactly. And so we will get into this in discussion on COVID vaccines and boosters and how that affects two people with multiple sclerosis and truly the rest of the world and MS community. And these are just our perspectives. And hopefully you can take from that and build and have questions and thoughts and insights for when you talk with your doctor. We'll be right back. And so the discussion will continue with now just talking about COVID vaccines. And I think this is the interesting thing, is that we first wrote about the potential of COVID vaccines back on our blog. We wrote about it on November 29th of 2020. And here we are like, what, 12, 13 months later, mm-hmm. and we're talking about, oh, well, you potentially will need to go in for a fourth shot because you've had two shots plus a booster, and we have this, just that we've had this many developments, pluralized, I don't know, this many developments since November 29th of 2020, that we're having this discussion about whether or not we're going in for a fourth vaccine. I think, how lucky are we? If you think back to even, you know, the September mark of 2020, where a vaccine was just a pipe dream, or they were still, I mean, it was a little sooner than that or later, whatever. Yeah. But it's just that we were just hoping, wishing that there would be vaccinations. And now here we are, and we're talking, you know, we've got boosters, we've got, you know, potential of fourth shot.
And I find it interesting, and Dan, you've talked about this as well. When we were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis way back in the dark ages, there were only three disease-modifying drugs, and we didn't know if they would work. We just took them, and you weren't certain. And now the drugs are more powerful, and they're certainly they're stronger and they're more effective, but you still aren't certain, is this going to slow down my disease? And that's kind of like a COVID vaccine. So you and I, Dan, we've just been like, hello, welcome to the world of multiple sclerosis. There's no certainty. I feel comfortable. If God forbid you or I got COVID, it would be a little less severe because we have been vaccinated. And it's kind of like when we have a flare up with our multiple sclerosis. Hopefully it's not going to be as severe as it would have been had we not been taking our disease modifying therapy. And I know that. And so maybe I've gotten a little lax, a little careless. You know, I had a beauty day last week and I got my hair colored, and there'll be more on that later, but I got my hair colored and I got my nails done, and I was just due to do. And then it hit me like, just, why aren't you wearing a mask? Why aren't you being careful? You're being a wee bit cavalier.
And then it's like a little renegade.
Just kind of like a renegade. And just recently, one of our friends has been diagnosed with COVID. And just because I'm wishing it away, that doesn't work. And I remember shortly after I was diagnosed with MS 20 some years ago, I got a fortune in a fortune cookie, and it did say wishing things away is not effective. And I wake up and I talk to my family or I talk to my caregiver, and we just wish this would go away. It's not going to work like that. That's why we have to do our part, and we have to be vaccinated, and we have to wear our masks and be vigilant, wash our hands, and keep social distance. And it's hard. It's really hard, to go to church and to see people that you love and, you know, that you want to spend time with and be close to. And you can't, you shouldn't, because not only do you want to keep yourself healthy, but you want to keep them healthy. So if we stick to it, hopefully this will go away.
And exactly. And I think that that's something where, and we'll have a link to this video as well. We had been involved in a webinar with
United Spinal.
I was going to say United Spinal. I always think of the director we're friends with and everything. It's like, yeah, United Spinal. But it was just like one of the doctors involved in that webinar just talked about like those of us with multiple sclerosis, and like for you and for me, I take Ocrevus, you take Rituxan, and I believe it's also the Mayzent. Is that right?
And Kesimpta.
Kesimpta. I was going to say Kesimpta more than Mayzent. I misspoke there. But just in terms of like the MS medicines that will wipe out your immune system, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and so that means then that the vaccinations maybe aren't as effective for us. I mean, other MS medications probably aren't as, you know, are probably more effective with the vaccinations. But he had just said how we need to really just proceed and be involved in life, but really move forward as though there was no vaccine. And so we need to wear masks and, I mean, just use that extra
be vigilant, be cautious.
Point of caution to do that. And I think that's, you know, so then when you see all your friends and everybody who doesn't have MS and they're out, you know, having fun and doing things, and you still have to, maybe it's a bad analogy, but it's almost like your friends and, I'm just going to say it, but I mean, it's kind of like having training wheels and all your other friends are out there and they're riding their bikes without training wheels, but you still have to do it just to be safe.
Yeah, well, at least you're getting to ride a bike.
Exactly, to be able to be out there in public, but just to be there to be a part of the community, the conversations, everything within reason.
Absolutely, and so I think that's important, and you know, we're still dealing with this, but things are getting better, but it's on, you know, I went to the grocery store today and shelves, there are certain things, you know, I was a little disappointed that I couldn't buy chicken nuggets. I mean, in our grocery store, there's a huge section for chicken, and there were no chicken nuggets. And that's one of my baby's favorites. And so I had to leave that behind, and they had no salad, no romaine salad, which is awfully picky. I didn't want iceberg. I wanted romaine, but they didn't have it. But that's a small price to pay to still be able to get so many groceries. And I realize that stores and businesses, I mean, all over the place, they're dealing with staffing shortages, and servers at restaurants, if you're brave enough to go out, two people with compromised immune systems like ourselves, we're not going out to eat in restaurants. But if you are going out, be patient. You know, people are getting Omicron, and they're having to miss work, and the shortages of staff and supplies. And so this is a lesson. I really feel so much of coronavirus mimics or is similar to multiple sclerosis. Those of us living with MS, we know what it's like to just have to be patient. You know, when your legs aren't working as well as you want, or when you go to grab a bite of food and you're like popcorn and there's no popcorn in your hands, you get so frustrated, but you just have to be patient and do it over. Well, coronavirus, COVID right now, is like, this is testing everyone's patience. And really, it's testing our moxie. Are we strong enough to endure this? And I would hate to think that we as a society can't, you know, what are we made of? We're better than getting frustrated and getting angry and losing it because there's a virus that we can't control. We eventually will do it, I hope. And I have to be hopeful, you know. Again, like multiple sclerosis, I don't walk right now, but I have to be hopeful that maybe someday there will be some way for me to walk again. Well, that's like COVID. I have to be hopeful. Maybe this spring we'll have, after this variant washes through the United States, we'll have a better handle on it. You know, it's pretty exciting that right now, nearly two-thirds of the eligible U.S. population is fully vaccinated against COVID-19. And I mean, that's pretty exciting. Two-thirds of our population is vaccinated. So that is something to give me hope. I mean, do you still feel hopeful, Dan?
Totally. Well, of course, it's me.
Of course, that's you. Hopeful.
But it is, I think, and I don't want to, and you know me, I don't want to give MS credit, but at the same token, you think about it, has MS made us, I don't want to say better prepared for COVID, but where you talk about like the sense of, you know, knowing like with MS medicines, they're not 100% effective in slowing relapses and everything and severities and whatnot. But so we're better prepared that way. And I think the other thing, and again, I'm not giving MS more credit than it deserves, but in terms of preparing us for this, and I think just speaking from our perspective as two people living with multiple sclerosis, we had that thing on. We watched something the other day on the news. Are we like, we're like totally news junkies or something? And but it's just that, you know, in terms where they're talking about airports and air travel and everything. And I don't know if you recall when we saw that, but when they were saying like with people traveling by, you know, flights and airports and everything, saying you need to recommended to be to the airport like 3 hours before the flight takes off, and people are freaking out about that. And you had said, welcome to the world of the disabled.
Yeah, I think people are inconvenienced at the idea of having to get to the airport 3 hours early. And you know as well as I do, Dan, and maybe some people out there not living with the use of a power wheelchair may scoff at the idea that we have to get there 3 hours early, but it's necessary to get there early, to check in, to have plenty of time to transfer out of my power wheelchair into an aisle chair to board a plane. So the inconvenience that people are feeling having to get to the airport 3 hours early, seriously, when they said that, I was like, yeah, welcome to our world. And never mind the fact that we have to drive in a couple hours to get to the,
because,
the airport.
Well, because that can be a topic for another discussion, just that we can't just fly out of Lansing or Saginaw like an hour away. We have to fly down to Detroit because a connecting flight does us no good, where you have to like get out and hope and pray to God that they're going to like get your wheelchair from plane A to plane B. And so you have to drive that extra thing. I mean, thank goodness we could do that and travel, but at the same time, that's just a reality. And I'm not saying that it's not an inconvenience, but it's just like one of those things in terms of being patient with the time. I mean, that this isn't the vaccinations didn't fix everything.
And as much as I don't want to be all corporate sounding, but I want to circle back for a moment.
Please do.
There was talk of a fourth shot.
Yes.
And as exciting as that sounds, and as thankful as I will be that there's a fourth shot, I remember what it was like the last time you had a booster shot.
I did.
And with Dan being my primary caregiver, anytime, forgive me if you haven't heard me say this before, every single time I have to go to the bathroom, Dan has to help me. And that prospect, if when Dan is knocked on his hiney because he had a COVID vaccine booster, then I'm sort of, if as much as Dan's wiped out, I'm kind of wiped out. So forgive me, as exciting as another shot would be, the potential of a four shot for the immune compromised, it kind of worries me a little.
Quite honestly, it scares the hell out of me that the way I was after the booster, that just, I mean, to be totally wiped out, I couldn't even walk,
That's true.
And but I think that's where going into, if indeed there is a fourth shot, fourth vaccination, I would be smarter about it. I mean, not that I was careless, but I would do it later. I would get my shot later in the day because I was good for, I got the booster early in the morning. And then by, 12 hours later, I had nothing left in me. And so it is just, I would go later in the day so that I could, sleep it off, as it were. You were a rock star with your two vaccines and the booster. Nothing. You were like unfazed.
I was very fortunate. And I don't want to jinx myself, but I was very lucky. I think when you're living with multiple sclerosis, not to make us all sound like superstars and champions, but we deal with so much crap on a day-to-day basis where you're like, oh, what's a little more fatigue or what's a little more this, I can take it. And maybe I'm being cavalier and giving the multiple sclerosis a little more like I'm so badass because I live with multiple sclerosis, forgive me. But, if I had a sore arm, well, my MS has made it so I don't use my arms very much, unfortunately, or I was like with a little fatigue and kind of flu-like symptoms, but hello, I was on a disease-modifying therapy that I had flu-like symptoms, so I can kind of hack it. Don't want to jinx myself, certainly, but, I was lucky, and if there is a chance, an opportunity for a fourth vaccine, I will take it because I want to be safe and I like to do what I can to keep you safe and to keep my family safe. You are my family, but our parents are older and I like to see them and I like to do what I can because I want this gone. You know, like I said, I would love spring to come and this disease, you know, get through this variant, and I would like it to be better controlled. And if a fourth vaccine happens, I think that'll be a tool for me to make that happen.
And I'm with you, and I think that's just where it's like begrudgingly we'll get it because I know it's for the best, and it's almost like ripping off a Band-Aid of sorts. I mean, it's certainly a lot worse than that, but it's just
it has the potential to be a lot worse than that.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, those are things where it's like, this is for me, for you, for, you know, my community and the people. So yeah, I would do that. So there, that's our COVID talk. I think it's really just perspectives and stuff and just like what that means. I mean, we can talk about variants and all the other things, but I mean, as for two people living with multiple sclerosis, these are the issues that we deal with. We had talked about the report from the National MS Society and the video from United Spinal. We will have those in our liner notes, and we will take a break now, and we will come back with Moments of Joy, but because we want to be all-encompassing, we're going to talk about also Moments of Frustration. We'll be right back.
I try to be a positive person, and I think I do a pretty good job. But if you had to compare Dan Dickman to Jennifer Dickman, I might be a little more of a little crappy patty a little more often. And so I'm going to kick off with my moment of frustration. And I think anyone listening to this out there, or anyone that knows Dan and I, know I like to take care of my husband. So I went to the grocery store today, as I was talking about earlier, and I bought Dan some beer. He likes beer. He works all day. He wants to have a drink. So I roll up and I put my beer on the counter. There's a little placard on the checker stand that says, anyone less than 40 will be ID'd. My clerk did not ask for identification. And I was so, you know, I'm wearing a mask, so maybe he didn't think that, you know, because I'm in a wheelchair and I'm got on a mask, he's like, maybe she's over 40, or he just assumed I was over 40. But I'm like, I just got my hair color. There's no gray, and you still, you had no doubts that I was over 40. And you know, it used to be the other way around. Oh, I'm so old. And, you know, but now I'm like, please, every once in a while, give a lady a little boost of her confidence. Say, oh, can I check your ID, please?
Well, I would say that, like, when we're at a restaurant or something and the waiter or waitress cards us, I that's just
right. Tip for, is going through the right roof.
For a huge tip. Thank you. So, wow.
That was my moment of frustration. You still got your beer.
I did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It kind of gives old lady a different, anyway.
Yes. So did anything frustrate you, Dan Dickman?
Oh, dude, seriously. So, and I don't want to put checks. Like, I'm just going to talk just straight up. Any of your resealable bags, that's a farce. Like, anytime you get like chips or like frozen, like chicken breasts, things like that, anything that's frozen, it's like this big selling point for freshness with a resealable, you know, bag.
Like packaging. Like
yes. Like Ziploc bags. That's all well and good unless you have multiple sclerosis and you have no feeling in your fingers and you can't. I'm just like, dude, I just give me a chip clip or something, because I mean, you got me this beautiful bag of Chex Mix for the holidays and I'm still milking it, right? It's like,
yes.
And it's got a resealable bag, and I'm thinking that is just so smart. semicolon, however, comma, I can't, it takes like a good 5 minutes. And Doug Ankerman out there would know. He's a talented MS writer, a writer with MS. He's humorous and everything. But he wrote a whole column on his blog about those kinds of frustrations, and just the Ziploc bags are so frustrating when you have no dexterity in your digits.
They're so challenging. And likewise, it's challenging to be a spouse and watch watch your husband frustrated with his Chex Mix, and he can't stop to enjoy it because he's trying to reseal the bag.
I don't want them anymore.
Yes, very much. I don't want them anymore. So I feel your pain.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so now
I'll go drink a beer.
Drink a beer. Do you want, and have you had a joyful moment this week?
Boy, a moment of joy. I mean, I have moments of joy every day. I think, that's a great question, Jennifer.
Oh, okay, because I have.
Can you buy me some time? It's like the waiter waitress says, can I take your order? I don't know. So Jennifer, buy me some time. Place your order.
I am certainly buying you some time. So today is Monday, and I'm still riding high because the Detroit Lions won yesterday. And I know it's the end of the football season, and it was just like a no importance game, whatever. But the Detroit Lions beat the Green Bay Packers yesterday, and it was a thing of beauty, just because a win is a win, and no one's going to say, oh, like asterisk, Aaron Rodgers just played a few seconds. No, the Detroit Lions have a win over Green Bay, and it gives me hope because there's really, you know, Dan Campbell and St. Brown. I'm sorry, I can't remember his first name.
Yes.
But that team is so fun to watch and so young, and I have been a lifelong Detroit Lions fan, so I'm excited again, something to be hopeful for. You know, next year, it's going to be good stuff, so I think that was my moment of joy yesterday when the Detroit Lions beat the Green Bay Packers.
And
that buy you enough time there, Dan?
Well, just as we're talking about and thinking about things, and I think it's something that yesterday, as we were talking with your dad, and it's something your dad said, and it's sad that this was the last. I'm not looking past the playoffs of the NFL playoffs or anything, and because it's there. But then you're just saying, oh, but football's almost over. But when your dad said that pitchers and catchers for the major leagues report, he said like the first week of February, and I'm just thinking, wow. So that gives me hope. Is just and I always feel, especially with spring training, when that comes around, and even with pitchers and catchers reporting for spring training, even if you don't like baseball, it's got to give you some hope in the sense that the players that report for a sport of the summer are going in for spring training.
So it's something to be optimistic for.
Yes.
And I think those are two good moments of joy. And unfortunately, and I can't believe we made it this whole episode without talking about our podcast producer, Ryan. Ryan is not here tonight just because of the COVID. See, it's kind of like the MS. If anything has the word "the" in front of it, it's pretty important. Yep. But we didn't want Ryan at this point in time. There's constantly you need to be concerned about COVID. And this time we were trying to figure out, it's going to be very exciting in the future, spoiler alert. We're going to figure out a way that Ryan can be 40 miles away and still contribute to our podcast. And so Ryan's not here tonight because we don't have that software and we're still being really careful with COVID. We want to be taking the precautions and staying social distanced. But the next episode, darn it, Ryan better be here.
He will be here. So this has been great. So thank you all for taking the time to stop in and listen and enjoy the podcast. Until next time, we're a couple takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
And I'm Jennifer Digman.
I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.